Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Welcome to Vintage Faith. I am Pastor Grace. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. Yes. Hi. You guys, so encouraging. You're like my mom. You're so encouraging. My mom is sitting here with me today. So I shouldn't be nervous, right? You guys are all happy and ready to hear the word of God. Amen. So today I'm excited to speak. And I guess maybe excited isn't the right word. I'm nervous and I'm scared a little bit because God had spoke to me about a month ago about what to speak on. I knew Matt had given me a couple dates and he said, hey, would you like to speak? And I haven't spoken since probably maybe when I was pregnant I spoke. So, but it's been like a little bit of time. And I was like, all right, Lord, what would you, right now all I can think of is like baby teething and sleep. And I'm sure people don't want to know about that. And so, Lord, what would you want to tell us today? And I so clearly heard him. Do you know, like sometimes you really struggle and you're like, God, what do you say? Oh, come on, God, give me something. And you don't really know. And oh no, I heard very clearly and quickly. And that's how I knew it was the Lord. And that's why I wanted him to be quiet. Okay. Cause it was not what I wanted to hear. And he just said one word. And I was like, God, are you sure? Have you ever like experienced God saying something to you and you were like, oh, God, are you doing that thing where you waving at someone, but you're waving behind the person? And I thought you're waving at me. And then I'm like, oh, that's awkward. Like you weren't waving at me. Like, are you doing that right now? Cause there's no one in the car with me right now. And I heard you say that, but, and he told me this one word. Cause I was like, God, look at me. I don't know if I'm the person, I'm not the right messenger for this. Like, this is a little awkward, God. And he told me that one word. Do you want to know what it is? Yeah. He said, you're going to speak on racism. Right? That's about what I did. I was like, say, what? You want me to? I'm sorry. I said, okay. And then I told Matt, I can't speak. Sorry. I'm not getting anything from the Lord. You got to take me off the schedule. And the Lord was like, you're going to speak on this. And I said, okay, if you're calling me to it, you're going to give me the words to say, and I'm going to stand there and I'm going to say what you want me to say. And I'm not going to be afraid. Right? So as a white woman, I have never experienced racism. I have never felt judged by the color of my skin. Never in my life. I really sat and thought about it this week. God, has there ever been a time? Now I can tell you about being a woman, but because of the color of my skin, never. Never. So I want to say that I'm going to do this not perfectly. I might say something the wrong way or do something the wrong way. My intention is to be honest, to be godly, and I think the reason most people don't talk about this is because of fear. Fear of saying the wrong thing. Fear of coming off a way that you're not meaning to. And I'm not going to let fear hold me back today. Thank you. Because this is something we need to talk about. Yes. And the church cannot be silent on this. Can I say white people cannot be silent on this? And so give me some grace. But my hope this morning is that we start a conversation. I don't think I'm going to like, all right, and now that's how you get rid of racism in America. Like, I don't think we're going to walk away with that, but I want us to start a conversation and be a part of a conversation. Is that good? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, help us. Amen. So Revelation 7, 9 through 10. And I want to say that the kingdom of God is colorful. Okay, this scripture talks about, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from every tribe and people and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And what were they singing? Let's find out. And crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Would you do me a quick favor? Close your eyes. I want you to imagine heaven. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart and you die, and the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and there you are up in heaven, and you come through, and the Lord's like, hey, love you, welcome, and you see a multitude of people, you see thousands and thousands of people, millions of people, a sea of people worshiping, and don't worry, you're not gonna just worship, but you know, you'll get to ride a unicorn and
all that fun stuff too, but you're gonna worship the Lord and you're gonna worship with these people around you all at the same time, saying the same thing. Okay, open your eyes. Can I tell you, when I picture that, I picture a bunch of white people singing in English. Yes. That's what I picture, because that's my paradigm. That's my lens in life. I am white, I'm in a white family, we all speak English. Okay, so that's what I picture. Maybe you picture your family and what that looks like, a sea of people. If I'm not intentional about picturing a sea of every tribe and every nation and every language, I don't default to that. Does that make sense? So our default is not usually a colorful kingdom of God. It usually looks like we look. It sounds like we sound. Did you know that someone who speaks Spanish probably hears God in Spanish? Like, that'll like blow your mind if you don't speak Spanish, right? Because like, no, he speaks English. Does he? Right? Like, to a German, he's speaking German to them. What? He doesn't speak English to you? No. The kingdom is so colorful. Did you know that there is no room for racism in the kingdom? There is no room for prejudice in the kingdom of God. How could there be? If he comes after us and doesn't see the color of our skin, he sees us and he says that it is my desire that none should perish, but that all would receive eternal life. Amen. And then he looks at us and he says, guess what, church? You're the vehicle at which I want to use to reach the world. Because he says, go into all the world. And we're the vehicle. So every tribe, every nation, it's our job to tell them about the love of God, okay? And if we have racism in our heart, if we have prejudice in our heart, whoa, how are we to go? If we don't even have a friend, an acquaintance, a coworker, a neighbor that looks different than us that we even talk to, how will we ever tell them about the love of Jesus? So here's my thing. Is that this might stir in you some offense when I talk today. You might feel offended. You know that awesome word we love to say all the time? And here's what happens when you get offended. Your ears shut. Amen. This is what's happening in America right now. Everybody is so offended that no one's listening, okay? And can I just tell you, it's okay. It's okay, because I've been in conversations where someone has called out a racist behavior and I go, but that's not me. I don't do that. What's happened? I got offended. I shut my ears and I'm becoming defensive and I'm trying to prove my point. I'm not hearing their story. I'm not hearing where they're coming from. I'm not sympathizing and empathizing with them. And so guess what they probably feel like? Well, gosh, I don't want to have this conversation. So today, Lord, we don't want to be an offended person. Okay, because we want to hear all that you have to tell us. So right now, in my heart, this is what I'm saying. God, if anything that I say, anything that happens today, Lord, if I start to feel offended, and would you do this for yourself? If I start to feel offended, if I start to want to defend myself or get defensive, would you just stop, take a deep breath, and go, Lord, what do you want to teach me? Because there could be a possibility I don't know everything, and I might need to learn. And I'm not saying that. Actually, I am saying that a little aggressively, because if you're not humble and you're not coming to the Lord going, God, I need to learn from you. I need to learn from the word. I need to learn from other people. You might be missing it. Yeah. Okay. So can we do that this morning? Can we do that this morning? Yeah. So the definition of racism, this is a very technical term, but is the practice of discriminating against people based on their race, national or ethnic background. And like I said, there's no room for racism in the kingdom of God. He doesn't discriminate against us. And for most of us in this room, we would say, well, great, I'm not a racist. Good. Like, I'm glad we're on that page. But racism doesn't just look like burning a cross in someone's yard. Racism can be very subtle, and you might not even realize that you have something in your heart of racism or prejudice. You might not even realize it. And a lot of the times it comes in language like us and them. Sometimes we might think things like, oh, those kind of people really drive bad.
right? Yeah. How about those kind of people? I get really nervous when I'm walking down the street and that sort of race is walking by me because they're known to be kind of thugs, and I get a little scared. Right? We're not meaning to be a racist, but what have we just done? As a white person, I've never thought about this, but do you know when you go to buy a Band-Aid and they're all the color of my skin? Right? I've never thought about that because I didn't need to think about it. And I'm not a racist because I go to get Band-Aids. But have you ever stopped to think about that? What that feels like? I had a friend tell me a story. She is married to a black man and she is white in a biracial relationship and marriage. And she said that early in their marriage, they were over at her family's house and her husband had used a hairbrush in the bathroom. And one of the cousins or something came out and was like, there's this like weird abnormal hair in our hairbrush. He's a black man and he said, oh, so that's my hair. And so if your hair's normal hair, that makes you normal. And if my hair's abnormal, so what does that make me? His wife was telling me, everyone was just kind of like, I didn't mean it like that. You know, got defensive because they weren't hearing what he was trying to say. And he wasn't saying, you're a racist person. He was just saying, hey, when you say that, do you think maybe how that would make me feel? Right? So sometimes we do this stuff and we're not meaning to. We're not blatantly wanting to be a racist. But we need to look at our heart. We need to let the Lord examine us. God, years ago, did someone of a certain race hurt me? And so now I have lumped everyone in that race into that category. Amen. We do this with sexes too. A man hurt me, so therefore every man, right? So will you turn with me to Genesis 1, 27? We're gonna go right to the beginning. Genesis 1, 27. But here is the sixth day of creation, and God makes us. Woohoo! And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Our first step in talking about this issue is that we are all made in the image of God. That is where we start. Would you look to the person to your right and to your left? Tell them, you are made in the image of God. Now, if only we lived a life that really truly believed that. Every day, we looked at every person, that they are made in the image of God. That person who has wronged us. That person we don't agree with. That person who looks different, that person who worships different, that person who sins differently than us. You are made in the image of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because of this, every person has an innate value and is worthy of equal dignity and respect, regardless of race, gender, wealth, ethnicity, immigration status, background, or for any other factor. Because you're made in the image of God. And to be made in his image isn't necessarily to say, oh, wow, you got God's like long flowing gray hair, you know, like you got that lightning thing in your eyes, like the Lord, like that's awesome. Maybe don't ever say that to someone. They're like, what, you know, but this image, it means a representative likeness. So it's about his attributes. It's about his likeness that we are made in that image. It's every time you show love and care and concern for another person, we can say, ooh, I see your dad. I see your dad in you, your creator. Every time we rest, every time we work diligently, every time we extend grace, we are reflecting God. When people look at our two girls, we have a 5-year-old and a 7-month-old, and when we're out and they see my girls next to their dad, they say, oh my gosh, your girls look just like the daddy. I'm like, thanks, you know, I only did so much in that, but, you know, why was I even there? And
And so, like, cause they have very similar features to their dad, right? And I mean, I hope they're gonna grow up and be pretty. I mean, that's like a weird, no, you're very pretty. You're very pretty, but you know. Sorry, that didn't come out. Did I just totally offend you? Don't turn your ears off. Keep listening. Keep listening to me. But if you were to come to my house on a Saturday and you were to see my five-year-old doing her what we call this signature dance move that she does, and or if you were to see her tell a joke or the way that she gets silly, you would say, there's your mom. Because she acts like me in a lot of ways. Right? And that's sort of how it is when we are made in the image of God. When we act like him and we show the world a reflection of God, right? That is being made in the image. And people go, oh, I see your creator. That's why I wish more people would see Christians and go, oh, I know you're a Christian from the way that you love and the way that you serve and give, right? Yeah. So this has got to be our starting point, that big idea that one, we are made in the image of God. Go ahead, tell that person next to you again. You're made in the image of God. This is our starting point when we talk about the issue of racism, bigotry, sexism, homophobia. This is where we start. Yeah. That every person is made in the image of God. Every person. Why is this important? Because if we forget, which we can really easily. Yes. And when we forget this, we dehumanize a person. Amen. And we take away their value. Yes. We look at them less than. We judge them in a way that is not looking at the image of God in them. How else can we see 60 million babies aborted? Yes. Because we've dehumanized a baby and called it a fetus. How else did the Nazis kill 11 million people in the Holocaust? How else would we ever have seen slavery, buying and selling and trading and raping and beating people? We dehumanize them. Because gosh, I can't look at you and see the image of God in you because I would have to treat you like that. No, 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 I have to dehumanize you, make you less than, not worthy of. What does it look like today? Because we do this today. It looks like when we do it to a homeless person, the mentally ill, the addict, the person who sins differently than we do, the person with a different color of skin. It's subtle, sometimes it's not intentional. Can I tell you three ways that the Lord brought to my mind of ways that I have dehumanized someone? And maybe you will find something that the Lord would want to speak to you this morning and how you've done this in your own life. So when I heard about the unarmed young black man that was shot and killed by police, my first thought was, well, he's a thug. He should have disobeyed the police. I hate that I even thought that because I immediately dehumanized him. Because I said that, it justified me being able to say he wasn't worthy of his life, I guess. He wasn't worthy to have received proper care by the police. Man. How about the homeless person that I just assume is mentally ill or has an addiction? So clearly they don't want help. So my indifference, my lack of compassion is justified because they will probably use that dollar for to buy drugs. So I will pass by and I won't make eye contact and I most certainly will not sit down and help them. How about the person who hurt me? They must just be really broken and just full of evil. I dehumanize them and I villainize them. So I'm gonna tell other people about how awful they are. Because I can't just hate them by myself. I got other people to get in on it with me and they can agree with me and also judge them and hate them. So those are three ways that I had to get on my face this last couple weeks and repent. Ask the Lord for grace and mercy. That I didn't even know that was in my heart. Wow. And many times we don't even know the judgment that is in our heart, the prejudice that is in our heart, the racism that is in our heart. And how am I to go in love? And I thought I was doing such a good job about that. But there's more to learn and there's more to grow, right? We're not finished yet. We're going to give each other grace and extend grace because we're learning. We're trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
But would you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal in your heart where you might have done that? You've dehumanized a person. You haven't seen that they were created in the image of God. Why don't you just take 30 seconds and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you on that? So like I said, we cannot be afraid. We cannot be afraid to admit when we've been wrong. We can't be afraid to really face the ugly that's in our heart sometimes. The pain. And there's people in this room, and I don't want to minimize the pain, that you have been genuinely hurt by someone. Maybe you would say, Grace, that's great. You've never experienced racism, but I can tell you story after story after story. And what I say to that is the Lord wants to heal that in your heart. He wants to heal you. And those that you'd say, I have good reason, Grace, to think a certain kind of person is a certain kind of way. Well, you know what? The Lord would want to heal that. Jesus demonstrates this so well to us, how to look at each person, seeing them as made in the image of God. We see Jesus, he breaks every social norm, every racial stigma, every religious barrier. He breaks it. And he comes to earth, man, and he just turns it all upside down. Right? Man, Jesus, we love you. The way that he modeled for us how to love one another. So beautiful. How about the woman at the well? He should have never been talking to a woman, first of all, in the middle of the day, and a Samaritan, and an adulterer. And Jesus goes right to her. Don't you love it? And the disciples are like, don't you know? Be quiet. It's Jesus. It's God. Of course he knows. Don't you think maybe 2,000 years, he's thinking 2,000 years later, someone's going to read the story and someone's going to need to see that you go after the person because you see the image of God in them, not because what the world tells you who they are. Not because of what their actions tell you, but you see the image of God in them. Maybe that's what Jesus was thinking. Hey, let me turn this all upside down. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk to women. Let me talk to women. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk to the sinner and have dinner with the sinner. Let me go have dinner with the sinner. I love Jesus. How about the leper? Nobody wanted to hang out with the lepers. You would get sick. And Jesus is like, oh no, not only will I make you well, you're not going to make me sick. Jesus knew the power that he had. He knew what was inside of him. Church, do we know who's inside of us? That we have the power to go into the broken places of this world and be the change. Yeah. It doesn't need to change us. We change it.
Yeah.
Come on, church. How about the tax collector, the sinner, the adulterer, you name it. Because Jesus saw who they truly were. He looks at you and sees who you truly are. That even when you were a sinner, he died for you. Aren't you glad that he saw the worth in you, that he sees the worth in you? I want you to do me a favor. If you didn't bring a Bible today, that's okay. There's a Bible in every pew, so grab a Bible. If there's not enough, share with your neighbor, or you can grab the Bible that you brought, or how about your phone if you have your Bible app on there. And I want you to turn to Luke 10, and I'm purposely not putting it on the screen because I want you to get in this word, get your hands in it, see the words of Jesus for yourself. Luke 10, 25 to 37. If you're there, why don't you say, Yahoo!
Yahoo!
You can always go to the very front of your Bible and you'll see where all the books of the Bible are if you're having trouble finding it, and it'll show you Luke and you can turn there, or you can go towards the back. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right there in the middle there. So we hear this story of the Good Samaritan. And did you know that this story is universal? People that don't even go to church know about the Good Samaritan, right?
I hear that term on the news all the time. Oh, a good Samaritan showed up and helped, you know? I wonder if they know, like, that's in the Bible. Jesus talked about, that's Jesus' story, right? So I wanna just break it down a little bit. We don't have time to go verse to verse, which I would love, but we don't have time for that this morning. So I want you just to get the big picture. And we start with, there's an expert of the law, a Jewish man who knew the law. So he knew the Torah, he knew the Old Testament, backwards and forwards. He could probably quote verses and knew it really well, okay? He probably prided himself on that. And here he stands before Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what's written in the law?" And this guy would absolutely know what's written in that law. So he would come right back with a nice religious answer. And he would say, "Well, of course, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." And that's something that Jesus had been talking about a couple chapters over, about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, but also love your neighbor as yourself. So this guy is smart, he's quick, and he picks up on that and he says both those things together. And Jesus says, "You're right. You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live forever." But that really wasn't the question that this man wanted to ask, right? What he really wanted to ask came next. And this is in verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Well, and who is my neighbor?" And I can imagine this man who knows the word and knows the Old Testament and knows the law, and he would have a quick answer. And many people who go in the church, they kind of know that quick little answer and they give it. And here's Jesus who's like, "I know where your heart really is." And even when we do that, Jesus is like, "I know where your heart really is." And he loves to kind of bring that out to the surface because he doesn't want us to stay in a place that isn't healthy and whole. And he wants us to really experience freedom. So the Holy Spirit brings conviction sometimes and it really pulls out, like, "Ooh, that was actually what was in my heart. Okay, I was using that verse to kind of wield it like a sword to get what I wanted." And then the Holy Spirit brought conviction. I was like, "Oh, that was actually for me. Okay." And so we see that here where Jesus is like, "I'm not dumb. I know that you really want to ask a different question here because your heart isn't, 'Oh, look, I know the answer.' No, it's, 'Well, who is really my neighbor?'" And I can imagine this Jewish man's thinking, "Well, I know who my neighbor is. It's other Jewish men who go to the same temple as I do, and our families gather together and we hang out. And of course, I'm gonna love that neighbor. Absolutely. They look the same as I do. They worship the same as I do. Absolutely. But Jesus, I just wanna make sure you're thinking what I'm thinking here. And of course you probably are. So Jesus, who really is my neighbor?" And Jesus begins to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, which many of us know. If you don't, I'll tell you a little bit about it, but I encourage you to go into your word this week and read it, get it in you. And Jesus starts to tell a story that a man gets beaten by robbers. He's robbed, beaten, laying in the ditch. And he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and then went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. You would think a priest would do something, right? Well, he didn't, okay? A priest going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. I wonder what he had to do to dehumanize him so that he wouldn't have to look at the need. I wonder what was going in his mind. So two, a Levite, who would also have been a religious person, a religious scholar, worked in the temple. When he came to the place, you would think he might do something, right? He saw him, and he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, and this would have been the person that nobody liked. Jesus is telling this story. He knows who he's telling this story to, right? But a Samaritan, and the guy would have been like, "Ugh, why did they have to bring Samaritan into the story?" As he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, which would have helped heal his wounds. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." So then Jesus says, and if your Bible has it written in red, I love that, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to this man who fell into the hands of the robber?" And the expert in the law replied, he couldn't even say the word Samaritan, "The one, I guess, who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." So we see this story. Jesus gets to the heart of the matter with this guy. He knows that his heart isn't, "How do I really get
into the kingdom of God, his heart really is, who do I really have to love? Like, who are you saying that I have to be a neighbor to? And what exactly does that look like? And Jesus' response is not about who, it's about how. It's not about who we're to love, it's how do we love them. Jesus reminds us there is nothing exceptional about loving people who think, look, dress, live just like us. That's easy. What is difficult is opening our homes, our churches, and lives to those who are dramatically different. Jesus shows us a brand of love, a kind of church that transcends race and nationality. Everyone that we encounter is our neighbor. Amen. Every person we see needs love and acceptance. And so this is the big picture that I want us to come away with, is it's not who or when, it's now and how. Right now is the time to love every person, and how do I do it, God? And Jesus would have known this so well, you guys. Because right before him is the cross. And he knows what's coming. He knows it's not about who am I dying for. It's about, it's going to happen now. And how am I going to do it? How am I going to love my neighbor? Well, I'm going to lay down my life for them. And in John 15, 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for another. Right. Jesus is giving us the ultimate example of what it is to love our neighbor. To lay your life down, to lay aside your prejudice, to lay aside your ideas, lay aside your agenda for the sake of another person and to love them well. Is anybody hearing that this morning?
Yeah.
So it's not about who, are you sure that person? It's about right now and how am I gonna love them? How am I going to love them? For many of us, it's getting outside of our neighborhood and our family group and our circle and opening our eyes to the people that are around us that look different, act different, are different than us. It's being intentional at work, going and maybe sitting with someone you've never sat with and say, hey, I just would love to hear your story. It's that simple to start right there. It's as simple as not turning our ears off in defensiveness when you see something on the news and you sit and you go, okay, Lord, I don't understand that, but help me understand that. What do you see, God, when you see this? When we come to the foot of the cross, that is where we find unity. That Jesus died for every person on this planet. Right? And that is where we find unity with one another. Can I give you a couple practicals from someone who is really still learning what it is to see people through the lens of made in the image of God, okay? And to have difficult conversations and to try to be open. Can I give you a couple practical things that maybe we could all try together?
Yes.
Yes? Awesome. So the first thing is that we would come humbly and that we would be unoffendable. Like that we've talked about. We would come humbly, not pretending like we have all the answers. And I have this story, my friend Crystal, she said I could share this story today. And my friend Crystal, a couple years ago, we were doing an event in our parking lot and it was for our neighborhood. We were doing a big barbecue and we were excited. We invited the whole neighborhood and we had this whole thing like 30% crime rate goes down when you know your neighbor's name, which is true. So we were like, hey neighbors, we wanna get to know you. It was a great little event and we had games and fun and we had the police, the Culver City police come and they had their K-9 unit that was gonna be there. And they said like, hey, like we'll pass stickers out, it'll be fun. Well, I thought that was awesome. And I posted on social media and I was like, hey, come to our neighborhood barbecue. It's going to be great. The police are there. And I said something to the effect of, and they might just throw you in the back of a cop car and lock you up. Now, for me, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Fun. Get in the car. They put the lights on. Like a kid would love that, you know? And I can't say I don't have any experience. That would be a lie if I said I didn't have any experience being in a cop car. But that's for another...
That's actually for a different sermon. But for this illustration, I didn't have a negative experience. I mean, I deserved that event quite. Yes, I deserved that. So, but I had never had a negative experience with a police officer, okay? Because of the color of my skin. It's because of the bad things I was doing, and I deserved it. So, guys, the Lord, he did a miracle work in me. Jesus is gay. It sounds way more scandalous than it really was, but we'll go with it. You guys are thinking, I'm like, yeah, she's got street cred, you know? I'm telling you, it was very innocent. But anyway, for me, it was like a silly, lighthearted joke, right? And my friend Crystal, who I love so much, she private messaged me, which I thank you. She private messaged me, and she came so humbly to me and so unoffended. But she just said, hey, like, I know you probably didn't mean it this way, but as a black woman, there's a lot of kind of connection to black people, the police, being thrown in the back of a car. And I literally was like, oh my gosh. Like, never in my wildest dreams had I thought about that, right? And I showed Matt immediately. I was like, oh my gosh, delete it. Like, I couldn't get on there fast enough to get rid of that post. Like, I was like, dear Lord. And she was just so sweet. She was so kind. Because she looked at me, and what I'm gathering, Crystal, is she saw my heart, and my heart was not to be a racist or to be insensitive. And she came very humbly, and she just said, hey, just so you know, like that might, you know. And we pastor a very diverse congregation in a very diverse city. And of course, I want to be aware of that, and I want to be understanding of that. And I had to be humble, because initially I was like, well, come on, what? No, I had to hear what she was saying. And I had to understand that this isn't my story. I can't relate to that. But for her, this is a big deal. And I'm going to try to understand that. So the first thing is to just come humbly, come unoffendable. If you're the person trying to tell the person, like, hey, like that kind of language, coming humbly and coming unoffended in that moment is great too. Like, hey, I'm assuming you probably don't know, but we don't, like that word is kind of not really used anymore. Oh my gosh, really? Hopefully they respond that way. But they might get defensive because they're embarrassed and, you know, they feel shameful. But to extend grace. The second thing is that we should ask questions and then believe their story. And what I wanted to say about this is because when you have a certain lens of the way that you look at the world, that is like someone coming and telling you, you've always believed that the sky is blue, but I'm telling you it's red. Right. And you're like, no, it's not. Right. You're stupid. You know, yeah. It's not, it's blue. And when we come at things with the lens, when we come and we ask questions, not for us to then prove our point. You know immediately when someone's like, oh, tell me what you think about President, blah, blah. And then you're like waiting for them just to shut up so you can like, oh yeah? That's not, you're not asking a question because you want to have a conversation. You're asking a question so that you can prove your point, right? So it's not about that. It's about what if you just came not needing to prove a point, coming to really understand and go, help me understand your story. Help me understand why you said it that way. Have you ever been in a fight with someone and you say something and it was like, you pushed the button that you didn't know existed, right? And they say something, I got into an altercation the other day and so a lady called me stupid. It pushed a button, guys. And I didn't even know the button was there, but I was like, you do not call me stupid. Like, something. I was like, I was in my car, but I would have scrapped. There's a button we can push, right? And so when you push that button and you see someone start to get, oh man, whoa, hey, help me understand. What did I just say? Man, it seems like I really hurt you just then, and that is not my intention. Will you help me understand? Because I never want to do that again. Do you see how quickly you can change when you're not offended and you come humbly and you come wanting to seek understanding? And so when we come asking questions, and then the second thing is to believe their story. And a lot of the research that I've been doing lately, I love this woman, Brené Brown, and she talks about this lens that we see the world through. And she says, the only thing I can really tell you to do, because you're not gonna get it, someone's gonna tell you a story about racism that they've experienced in their life, and you will not understand. Because you're like, I have no paradigm for that. Like, that has never happened to me. I have never seen that. And I wanna say that you're a liar, because I've never seen it before. She says, all you gotta do is say, I hear you,
and I believe you. Just that simple act of saying, you know what? I don't get it. I really don't. But I'm going to believe your story. It's not my story. I can't really even relate to that. But I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to sit in this pain with you, and I'm going to say, I hear you. And I'm going to say, I'm so sorry. How would you want someone to respond to you when you say, this terrible thing happened to me? You would want them to say, I am so sorry. You wouldn't want them to say, well, let me tell you, not everybody does that. And I would love you. And if it was me... Shut up. No one. They're like, I didn't want to hear that, you know? Those are my very practical, and I'm still learning how to see people and view them through the image. They're made in the image of God. And it starts with you zipping it and listening. And you can't listen if you're offended. And you got a point to prove. So church, stop with the Facebook. Go more the route of, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee and let me hear your story. Let me understand where you're coming from. Does that sound good? Yeah. We're almost done. It's the last thing I want to say, and then we're going to take communion, because it's at the cross that we find unity. Standing against hate is not nearly enough. We must advance love by humbly confessing before one another, listening to and learning from one another. Remember I said this is more, let's start a conversation. Pastor John, will you come up here with me? Help me out with this communion table. So we're going to take communion in a moment, and we're going to do it a little bit different. Thanks, guys. We're just going to move it right here to the middle. You guys, it's so fall in here with the pumpkins. Pastor John and I are on staff here at Vintage Faith. And clearly we look different from each other, right?
Indeed.
I mean, I'm a woman.
I'm a man.
I got blonde hair.
That's right.
Right? I mean, right. We're just a little different. Black. Well, it's a little gray in there too, isn't it?
A little.
I didn't want to.
That's it tomorrow.
You know what unites us is what's at this table.
Yes.
When we come together to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, mm-hmm. How will we ever see this world radically changed? It's going to be because they have encountered the real God, Jesus, who came for every person he died for. When God said, okay, Jesus, this is the plan, you got to go. And you're going to go to the cross, you're going to die. Jesus didn't say, but for who, God? For that racist? You want me to go for him? Yes. You want me to go for the ISIS fighter? Yes. Who are you going for? And Jesus says, it's not about who, it's about how. And I'm going to go and I'm going to lay my life down for all of humanity because they're worthy. And they have worth and they have value. And every single person needs the hope and the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So when we come here today, we're going to do this a little different, okay? I'm going to ask you to go through the sides of your pew on the outside. You're going to come around and you're going to join whoever's here. Might be someone you know, might be not. Just like this. And we're going to serve one another communion. So it's going to take some time, but we're going to be patient with one another. Here you go. I guess we can just grab, right? And then we're going to go around. No, I'm just kidding. like they do at the weddings, right? Like, that would be weird. That would be pushing it. And we're just going to say, I bless you.
I bless you.
I love you.
Love you too.
Bless you. And we're going
to
take our communion. And we're going to join and we're going to meet at the place that unites us. And here's what I want us to do before we do that, is we have got to examine our hearts before you come to this table.
Yes.
If there be any prejudice in you, if there be any racist ideas or motives in you, we gotta lay that at the foot of the cross.
Indeed.
If you need some healing because of something that someone has done or said to you, would you ask the Lord to bring healing to your heart?
If there's times where you haven't understood this whole conversation about race, you haven't understood the football players kneeling, you haven't understood the police brutality, you just don't get it. Would you humble yourself before the Lord this morning and ask the Lord to talk to you and to teach you and to show you that you would come humbly, unoffended to the Lord? And then when you're ready, you can come at any point. Just come around. We're going to take. And if there's nobody over here, then just somebody zip over. We'll just make it happen, right? Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you did on the cross, God. That you came for every person. Every person, you saw the value in them. You saw that they were made in your image, God. And you said, you are worth it. That I will lay my life down. And then you say to us, would you do the same? That you would look to every person saying that you are made in the image of God and you are worth love, you are worth acceptance, you are worth the grace of the cross, and I'm gonna extend it to you as another brother and sister. And Lord, we repent. We repent for the racism in our heart. We repent for the prejudice in our heart, God, that we might not even know is there. It's not, we're not meaning to, we're not trying to be blatant with it, God, but it's there. God, it's there. Would you just rip it from our hearts, Lord? Because it's not of you. I want nothing. I want nothing that is not of you in my heart. I want all of you, Jesus. We repent for the times where we've been ignorant to the real issues at hand, God, where we've been so privileged, we've turned our eye from it, God. We repent. Jesus, I pray right now for any person who has been hurt, who's been offended, who has been ridiculed, who has been put aside because of the color of their skin. God, would you bring healing to their heart right now? Lord, we repent on behalf of those people that have done those things. No, I didn't do it personally, God, but I repent. And I just say, God, I want to be part of the solution. I want to be a part of bringing your kingdom here on earth that looks colorful. Every tribe, every nation, every language. God, teach us. We need you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you do that? And when you're done, would you just sit and wait and just be respectful of the people who are still coming? And then we'll close in prayer. Church, why don't we stand together? I'm so proud of you guys. I love being a part of this community. I love being a part of this church. And every week Matt says, be the church. And so I would say that, but let's be the church that Jesus died for. That we would love, not who, but how and right now. Amen?
Amen?
Love you guys. I bless you. Be the church. See you next week.